Someone once said that courage is fear that has said its prayers. As we think a little bit on courage this morning and reflect on the Lion and the Wizard of Oz and the courage that he really truly had to begin with, and how as he went on in the story and in their journey, little by little, his courage came out and was built and strengthened. And he was a very important instrument in the story of the Wizard of Oz in helping to defeat the enemy and to conquer his own fears and the fears of the people in defeating the Wicked Witch. Sort of like in the Christian life that we go through and the journey that we go through, it's always a struggle to defeat the enemy, to conquer our fears day in and day out, to overcome the struggles of everyday life, receiving the blessings and the prosperities that God promises. And it's always a struggle to stand firm in our faith and in our life for the glory of God, isn't it? Always a struggle. Every day. I was out just yesterday, stopped at a local store to buy some groceries, and as I went to the checkout counter, I handed the lady my debit card, and she handed me the thing and asked for my PIN number. And I said, you know, I said, I was just testing her out. I said, I wonder if God's going to require a PIN number when we go to get into heaven. And she said to me, she said, well, she said, I don't know. She said, I really think God has a lot planned for us that we don't even know about, or we don't really, or never will really know. And I said to her, I said, well, I said, one thing I do know, that the Bible says that to get into heaven, we don't need a PIN number. All we need is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I think she was shocked to say, that's what I believe. And I said, me too. And I said, isn't it great that a PIN number doesn't get us there, that faith in Jesus does? You know, it's a struggle for us to say things like that in our everyday lives, to profess our faith in Jesus Christ. But you see, the blessings that we expect as followers of Christ in everyday life involve battles that we fight. The Bible nowhere says that our journey in life will be a bed of roses. The Bible doesn't promise us that. It doesn't promise us that following Jesus will be easy. It doesn't promise us that standing firm on our faith and standing firm on God's Word is going to be a cakewalk. In fact, it tells us that it's going to make our lives a whole lot more hard than it is. But we can know for sure that if we have courage and faith in God, we're going to conquer all of life, even death. But what exactly is courage according to the Bible? And one great place to learn is in the book of Joshua, where God himself reveals what it means to have courage, a courage that conquers all those things in our everyday lives that we need to have the courage to conquer. We read in the book of Joshua the story of what happened to Joshua. Joshua was one of the 12 spies, probably born in Egypt, was a very young boy when they left Egypt, helped Moses throughout the wandering years in the wilderness of the people. He was one of the spies that they sent into Canaan to spy out the land before they went in. And it came to a point where Moses asked the Lord to appoint someone to lead the people on into the promised land, because we know the Bible tells us Moses was not going to enter the promised land. So the Lord told Moses to take Joshua, a man in whom was the Spirit. They laid hands on Joshua and they commissioned him. And shortly after the death of Moses, Joshua took over as Moses' successor to lead the people across the Jordan into the promised land. The book of Joshua is composed by Joshua, with exceptions of a few parts maybe written by Eleazar the priest or Phinehas, Joshua's son, not of Phinehas and Ferb fame, by the way. But it tells us in the book of Joshua, it starts out by saying, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. So God speaks to Joshua, tells Joshua to get the people ready. You're going into the promised land that I promised to Moses. So you see, they were in a scary place. Their commander Moses was dead, and they probably felt all alone, like, what are we going to do now? But God was commanding them to cross the line into the unknown. You ever been there where you have to cross the line into the unknown? You're in a scary place. You don't know what lies ahead. You have to cross the line into the unknown. The King James Version says, arise and go over, implying making a transition in life. And you see, they had reasons to fear. Remember, the spies went in and they came back and said, the people there are huge. They're giants. But they had to cross a line and make a transition, not just physically or geographically, but spiritually, from the known to the unknown, from the comfortable to the uncomfortable. And that transition was going to take what we call courage in the English language. But the Bible describes it as a holding on to God, a clinging to His Word, and obeying God, obedience to God. It's like the transition that we have to make each time we deplete our checkbooks paying bills. It's like the transition that we have to make when we lose a loved one. It's like the transition that we have to make when we have to start taking care of a family member. Or the transition we make on the first day of school. The transition we make when the doctor diagnoses a scary disease. A transition that we make when a teenager gets pregnant. A transition we have to make when our plans don't go as planned. When we find ourselves in broken homes, broken marriages, and when our age just starts to catch up with us. And we can hardly get out of bed in the morning. We have to make those transitions. We have to go from the known into the unknown with courage. And here they were in a scary, uncertain place for sure. But notice what God says to them. He says three things in the text today. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I want you to do. And here's what I don't want you to do. So if you ever get in that place and you say, what do I do now, God? Turn to Joshua. Now look at the God who gives us courage. First, He says, here's what I'm going to do. Get ready to cross the Jordan River because I'm about to give to the people every place where they set their foot as I promised Moses. Get ready, He says, I'm going to do exactly what I promised to do. That's the first thing you need to cling to when you get into that point in life where you have to make a transition. And you're scared. What do I do now, God? God says, get ready. I'm going to do exactly what I promised to do. And that's bless you and keep you. And we're going to see that here. The second thing He says is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That word forsake in the Hebrew means loosen. God is saying, neither am I going to leave you. I'm not going to let go of you. I have you. The King James Version, and the King James Version translates it as God saying, I'll not fail you. And thirdly, He says, I'll be with you wherever you go. Don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I'm going to do exactly what I promised. I'm not going to let go of you. And I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Boy, that's encouraging to me. I don't know if it is to you, but I hope so. Secondly, we see in the text, God says, here's what I want you to do. Be strong and courageous, because you'll leave these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. In our terms today, in terms of the Nike culture, just do it. Just do it. Well, that's not so easy, is it? That's not so easy. You see, Webster describes courage as the ability to face danger, not overcome it, but the ability to face danger, difficulty, uncertainty, or pain without being overcome by fear or without being deflected from your chosen course of action. That's how Webster describes courage. The ability to face all the uncertainties and the dangers and the pain. And the idea that we get today in our age is, I have to be strong. I've got to be strong. But this isn't exactly what the Bible's talking about here. In my years with Moody Bible Institute, I've learned one thing. Never read over the words and just continue going without stopping for a moment to ponder what they meant when Joshua wrote them. You ever know anyone who lives ignoring God, maybe ignoring God's commandments, ignoring His presence and His power, but yet they expect life to be a bowl of cherries? You know anybody like that? I know a lot of people like that. They can't understand why they have so much trouble, and in fact, they sometimes hold it against God because they have so much trouble. The fact is, we can't live hellish lives and expect heavenly blessing. It just doesn't work that way. The Bible tells us that. We can't live on both sides of the Jordan. We have to cross over from the old to the new, from rebellion to surrender. We have to stop grumbling like the Israelites did in the desert and cross over to a new life of living like God wants us to. And that's going to take some strength and some courage. Not in the sense that we think, I got to just do it, but in the sense that Joshua was writing in the Hebrew, the word strong being kazakh, meaning to be fastened. Be strong and courageous, be fastened. And courageous coming from the word courage, which in the Hebrew was amatz, meaning alert physically and mentally. Now that changes the whole understanding of what God's telling them to do here. Be fastened and be alert physically and mentally. In other words, don't be asleep in this. Don't just stand around complacent when you're in this predicament. You need to be fastened to something that's strong and rock solid and be alert physically and mentally. I remember always when I think about something being fastened in strength and the rock and so forth, up just outside of Machias, Maine, there's a little bay that comes in and a little beach. And off to the side of this beach are ledges that strut out or jut out from the sand there. But down from them, standing just out in the middle of the beach, all alone, is this huge boulder that's probably the size of this rink here, and it's probably about 6 to 7 feet high. And there it stands, war-torn, battered, smooth from the storms and the waves and the sand beating at it. And in the middle of that rock on the top, someone has installed an anchor pin, a steel anchor pin. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful illustration that out of all the other things around us, there's one thing to anchor to be fastened to, and it's something that's rock solid. And that's what God's trying to tell them and tells us. Be strong and courageous. Be fastened and alert physically and mentally, because here's what I want you to do. Be careful and obey all the law. Meditate on the law. You see, this was in the context of God telling them, you're going into a pagan society where there's heathens. And I want you to be fastened. I want you to be alert at the dangers that lurk there. I want you to be careful, obeying the law and meditating on the law. And here's what I don't want you to do. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Don't turn away from my law, as God already told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Here's your path. It's laid out before you. The prosperity and the success is down right here, focused on Jesus Christ. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Stay focused and stand firm on that path. And don't be terrified. The King James Version translates, don't be afraid. Don't dread what's going to happen in those uncertain situations. Don't be discouraged or dismayed, allowing the situation to break you down. You see, it was important that they know that the greatest danger to God's people going into the promised land, into those uncertain situations, and the greatest danger to us is not physical, it's spiritual. The greatest danger was that the people would adopt those pagan ways, the Canaanites. That's the greatest danger to us today, is that we're going to adopt the world's ways. And all of a sudden, we no longer look like God's people.
We no longer act like God's people. We no longer talk like God's people. Prosperity and success take courage and obedience, fastening to God's law. In Psalm 1, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." But it's not so with the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. You see what God was telling them and telling us today is that I promise to be with you. I promise to bless you. I promise to never let go of you. You stay fastened and obedient to me and things will go well with you. In Joshua's case, it had been over 40 years of God forming him to lead the people against anything and anyone. But success for God's people hinged on their obedience and hinges today on our obedience to God and His laws and His commands. And what God was telling them as they were about to deal with this troubling situation was, "You're my people as I promised Moses. Act like my people as I commanded you through Moses. My people are successful and prosperous." And it's nothing more than deductive reasoning, which I know you can all do. And it's a great practice for the next time you're facing uncertain times. Remember, God says, "You're my people. Act like my people, because my people are successful and prosperous." Now, I don't want you to get the idea here this morning that if you live according to God's word that you'll win the lottery or you'll get that job or maybe you'll have that baby or maybe you'll never get sick or so on, because that's the prosperity gospel. And that's not the true good news of the Bible. Because honestly, folks, some people are anything but God's people, and they're prosperous beyond what we can imagine. Or at least, I want to say, they're prosperous in worldly ways, aren't they? And the sad part is, there are people who are truly God's people, acting like God's people, and are suffering. I don't understand it, but I understand one thing: God's in control of it all. And it seems like those ungodly people always have it so good, or so it seems by the world's standards. You know what the Bible calls those people? Pagans or heathens. We hate to say that today because, oh, that's just not nice. That's what the Bible calls ungodly people. People that are not God's people, that turn away from God. And that's the lesson here as we learn as we go along in our study of Joshua. True godly biblical prosperity is not the same as the prosperity that we think of. Don't be discouraged if you don't drive a new car, if you don't have a new house, if you don't have stocks and fat bank accounts, if you don't wear Adidas shoes or wear Estee Lauder makeup or Levi jeans. Maybe you're overweight, maybe you're undereducated, maybe you're out of the loop and nowhere on Facebook. But I learned years ago that a new backhoe does not dig a better hole than an old used one. Nor does a new truck dent any less easier than a used one. And they both haul mulch the same way. There comes a time when we have to trust God for all things in life and live like He wants us to live. If we turn our backs on Him after He's parted the Red Sea and made way for us more than once, after He's put manna on our tables time and again, after He's made bitter circumstances sweet for us as He did the water for His people in the desert, if we turn our backs on Him now, we cannot expect success or prosperity as individuals, as groups, as a church. God has prospered us, or we wouldn't even be here right now. It's only by the grace of God that we are allowed to get out of bed in the morning and stand on our own two feet. The Lord says in Jeremiah 17, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Those whose heart turns away from the Lord, they'll be like a bush in the desert and not see when prosperity comes." The writer of Hebrews says that God says He'll never leave nor forsake us. So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And you see, folks, the only way we'll have the ability to face danger and difficulty and uncertainty or pain without being overcome by fear or being deflected from that chosen course of action that we're on is to fasten ourselves to God. to be mentally and physically alert and ready when we're faced with those uncertain situations. To be careful, to obey God's law, to meditate on God's law, and to trust that He will not leave us nor forsake us. This is true courage, to face the future unafraid or discouraged. The poet Edward Guest says, "Courage isn't a brilliant dash, a daring deed in a moment's flash. It isn't an instantaneous thing born of despair with a sudden spring. But it's something deep in the soul of the man that's working always to serve some plan. And that something deep in the soul is a clinging alertness and awareness that if we live like God's people, God will give us success." And you might be thinking this morning, "But that's hard. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with right now." Yes, I do, because the Bible tells us that's your Jericho. And that's about what Joshua and the people are about to be up against. And we're going to learn about that in the coming weeks. So if you're facing those difficulties, you want to know what to do, you say, "God, what do we do now?" God says, "Well, get ready, because I'm going to do what I promised. Here's what I want you to do, and here's what I don't want you to do. Fasten yourself to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Trust in me. Don't turn away from my word or my law. Live like my people, and I will surely bless you." Let's pray. Lord our God, you are still the same today as you were when you spoke to Joshua. May your kingdom live forever. May your holy word prosper in us today. And when all else fails, you still are God. When all else is destroyed, your word will still remain, because it's true, it's everlasting, and it is righteous. We pray in Christ's name for that great strength and courage to be fastened to you, trusting in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Appropriately, let's turn to 374 as we stand and sing together.